Yeah, very good evening, and you're welcome along to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. I hope this Monday evening finds you well, and I think, a bit like last week, it's one of our first weeks here when it's bright at 6 o'clock in a while, which is always a good bit of positivity to have on a Monday evening. I hope your weekend was well. Plenty of action to go through over the next 2 hours, of course. The Kerry men's back to winning ways in Croke Park against the Dubs. Always nice to talk about a Kerry victory over Dublin, no matter what time of the year it is. And we've John Kennedy and Liam Brosson back this evening as well to dissect the game that was in GAA headquarters on Saturday night. We'd also talk on the ladies footballers, of course, disappointing result for them against Cork in Ostenstack Park. What about the Kerry hurlers? Narrow defeat right at the death after getting a goal to salvage a point. It was stripped away from us within about 20 seconds. We'll talk that. The Camogie girls had a great win as well. We'll have that on the show as well. And the game of pickleball, one I hadn't heard of before, but a Kerry woman is after getting the Volunteer of the Year award for Kerry at the Federation of Irish Sport, and she volunteers with the Kingdom Pickleball Club. So we learn a bit about Debbie and a bit about the sport of pickleball a little later on as well. I think that could be a Terrace Talk first. Well, you're more than welcome to get in touch. Plenty of your comments already flooding into the studio. It always gives us great confidence that there's someone listening to us anyway. So do feel free to get in touch. 083 300 3300 on the text or WhatsApp. You can call Niamh, who's also back this evening. Great to have her back in the producer's seat as well. 066 712 3666. Or as I said, if you're further afield or maybe want to get a longer comment into us, or during the week if you have a thought in your mind or whatever, our emails are open 24/7, terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. Lads, we're welcome back. We're back in league action once again. Kerry beating the Dubs in Croke Park, Liam. No matter how we do it, it's always a nice feeling, isn't it?
Well, it is, Ivan. And I suppose, I think you threw a stat up there, was it, in our WhatsApp group. We hadn't beaten them since 2017, is it?
17 in the final, I think, wasn't it? And yeah, it was 2012 since we beat them away in the league.
Yeah, look, it's always good to beat the Dubs above in their backyard. But I suppose there weren't a whole pile of positives you could take out of it.
No.
Because, to be fair, Dublin were poor. I suppose the one or two positives you could take out of it for as a Kerry management, I suppose they'll be look, you have the points in the bag, Pardy and Tom back, I think, which is a big addition as well. Got a bit more game time into the likes of Joe, Shawnee and Graham's legs. And I think the likes of Keith Evans, Armin Heinrich and Killian Trent, you know, they've added to their stock again after the weekend. You know, so there are a couple of the positives that I would take out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of things, as we'll discuss, that they'll have to work on. But look, it's I just thought Dublin were very disappointing.
John, as Liam says there, it is a win, and as much as we joke about Kerry beating Dublin, it was almost nearly an emptiness after it. I don't know why. Obviously, huge to win an away game in the league, and you'd kind of imagine you'd say, it doesn't matter how you win once you kind of win it. But this one just felt a small bit like we could have seen a small bit more from even both teams.
Yeah, it was a strange night in Croke Park, Ivan. You know, I've been there going a good 2 years now, and I'd say it was the flattest and the quietest I've ever seen. You know, the Dubs, the Hill, I'd say maybe for 5 minutes, Liam, they were singing a bit of a song, and it was dead. Afterwards, people, the Kerry supporters, didn't even stay around. They were gone. Mm-hmm. Different directions. It was a poor game, flat, paid at a very slow pace. Kerry much better than Dublin. You know, I think a 113-8 point lead was commanding, and it was about kicking on. We didn't. Dublin got a goal, and we'll talk about that after. But I think you know, this is a poor Dublin side. They're in mm-hmm. transition. I think Ger Brennan has a lot of work ahead of him, and you know, I think apart from maybe Ross McGarry and Niall Scully, you know, the rest of them in fits and starts they played. But you know, this was a. Kerry just they did when they pleased. I think if they need to get another few scores, they would have. And like Liam, I'd agree with Liam what he said, and I think the introduction of Tom Sullivan and Pardy Clifford at half time, it was the injection we needed. And you know, a lot of people are talking about layoffs and about being involved with clubs and so on and so forth, but the two boys came back as if they were never away. Mm-hmm. Tom was as sharp as a nail, and Pardy dictated the whole game when he came on, and total control, plenty of time on the ball, space, and again his experience looking up and giving off good ball, made no mistake. Armin Heinrich is growing with every game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the issues we have, and we'll talk about them, I suppose, maybe the kickouts, our own kickouts, not winning them. Maybe the positioning of Joe Connor out on the sideline. You know, little room for error there. If when you're going up with two or three guys, when the ball breaks, two or three times the last night, it went out over the sideline.
Yeah.
But look, there's the positive thing from Jack O'Connor is two more points. We're still in the hunt. Victory next weekend, and we're really in there to get a place in the final.
Would going up to Croke Park, Liam, and beating a poor Dublin team by 15 or 16 points give way too much expectation? Are we kind of better off the way we are now? We stuttered and we stumbled, we kind of got over the line against a poor team, we've things to work on. You've Monaghan coming to Clare next weekend, to our bottom of the table, no points. It's as ridiculous as it sounds. At this stage of the year, isn't it any better to have plenty of things that we need to iron out?
Oh, it is, yeah. And I suppose, look, the intensity, John, wasn't really in the game. No. So you weren't, I suppose, as a management team, we came away with, you know, they came away without any injuries then as well, which was important. It was like a training game, Ivan, to be honest. That's what it looked like. And I suppose, like we said, the positives for Kerry is that Jack seems to be drip-feeding a couple of our main guys back into the team now again. Monaghan next weekend. So, like you said, they're at the bottom of the table. So you'll be hoping to pick up points there. You're going to be looking the following week then against Mayo at home inside Tralee, and then away to Armagh. Mm-hmm. No, so two home wins there, and it'll shove you up the table. You could be very close to a league final again. No, and plus, like I said, we're bringing back some of our big guns are coming back in. I think the way Armagh Heinrich is playing at the moment, there'll be a couple of guys scratching their heads that had that jersey, and they'll be trying to get back in, because he's playing very well there at number 5. I thought Graham had a decent game now again the weekend. No, great to see Mark O'Shea, big young fella around the middle of the field. The confidence that he got from winning Dáil Éireann last year is going to be a massive addition. I think we'll see a lot more out of Mark this year. But I do think our kick out is probably the one thing. And I heard an interview from Tadhg Morley after the match, and he said the same thing. He said we probably still have to work on our kick out. And I suppose a lot of teams are doing that at the moment, because the way the rules have gone now and with the kick out, it's a massive battle around the middle of the field. You know, so it's going to make an interesting few months now between here and July. But I think the kick out is going to be huge. Whatever team that can master the kick out, or whatever team that can put up a kind of a block against the kick out and win the kick out will be hard to beat, because it's a huge weapon in our arsenal now.
Liam, on the kick out, right, and we may as well talk about it now instead of kicking it down the road later on in the programme, but I've heard two arguments today, and one of them is that, you know, when Shane Ryan comes back, the kickouts will sort themselves out. You know, he'll be in between the posts. And then I've heard the argument saying it doesn't matter who the goalkeeper is; it's outfielding to get organised for the kickouts. Where are we at that? Is it a balance of both? Is it a balance of, you know, your number one keeper isn't back yet, or is it a balance of it doesn't matter who's kicking the ball out if there's no one to kick it out to?
It's a balance of both, Ivan. Yep. No, you need your players outside. Like John made the point there with Joe O'Connor, and we've seen it in the last couple of league, and above in Donegal as well. He was standing on the sideline. You know, so there's very little room for error there. Mm-hmm. Whether he's looking for it or not, you know, he might be making room for somebody else to make the run. But if that run is not being made, then it's landing on top of Joe, and he's only a couple of square metres to play with. You know, the small things like that. The one thing I do see with Shane is that when he gets the ball, when the ball's going over the bar, it's like Cluxton. The ball needs to be in his hands. He needs to be running out. He did that in the second half against Donegal, and he did it in the second half against Dublin. It was just that little bit quicker, so he can get it on the tee. You're hitting Jason Foley, you're hitting Dylan Casey with that little kick out, and you're starting your attack. But Donegal really opened my eyes above the way they set up. They set up a 4 across the 21-yard line. They played 3 across the half-forward, and then they had 4 of their biggest men, the likes of Michael Langan and these guys, across the middle. So if you kicked it long, you were meeting guys that were 6'5", 6'6", but they were forcing you into kicking the ball into the pocket, into that hard kick. But to be fair, Shane in the second half, he was getting the ball out livelier. And I was beside the Donegal stats boys, and they actually said they're after getting 8 from 8 on our kick out. We got to push up more. They're little small little things. I just think that little bit of speed of thought and speed of getting the ball on the tee and getting it out as quick as you can to the open player. Don't look for the hard one the whole time. Look, there's always a guy either in the middle that you might have to a little ding pass out and start an attack.
But yeah. I think the point you made, Evan, was very good there. Like, it's a bit of both, but Dublin had one of the greatest goalies of all times in Cluxton.
Yeah.
But he was only as good as the movement outside.
Yeah.
We said it here on the programme several times. The movement of the backs, midfield and half-forwards to give him the opportunity of getting that ball out. The last night, I watched it specifically. There was no movement for the Kerry kick-out. We did better on the Dublin kick-out than we did in our own kick-out because we attacked it. The two chances, the goal that Tony Brosnan got and the one that went outside the post, they came from we breaking down the Dublin kick-out.
Yeah, no, 100%. Just as the league goes on, Liam, I suppose we've got 5 points from a possible, what, eight. Obviously, that draw last week against Galway is kind of one that people will be looking back on. But all of a sudden, the table looks a lot healthier. You've kind of gone two clear now of Galway behind, Armagh three behind, Dublin three behind, and Monaghan five. So all of a sudden, we're kind of looking up compared to looking down because myself and John were here last week and we're kind of chatting saying, another win here sooner rather than later is crucial, and if it didn't come against Dublin, you'd have to be kind of looking at the Monaghan game because you need kind of that separate ground. Now that's kind of there with the hope and probably expectation of beating Monaghan at home next weekend, all of a sudden you're on seven and you're definitely avoiding the drop.
Exactly, and I think the Monaghan game next week is probably it's a 4-pointer really, because you're keeping them down and you're taking yourself out of the danger zone.
Yeah.
So that's a big game next weekend, and we saw Monaghan against Mayo. They're not bad. They're a team that if they hit a purple patch, they could cause you trouble.
We saw it against Dublin
we'd carry it one to be on their toes, and I'm sure they will. But the way the league, I suppose the Rossies are really opening everyone's eyes at the moment.
They are, to be fair,
I saw today where the top scorers in the league at the moment are the two Rossie boys, Murta and Dara Craig.
Yeah.
You know, from freeze and from their top scorers and from play. You know, so they're a team that are motoring well, and you know, they gave us a good game in St. Clarnia and we put up a good battle against them, so that was a good win.
Yeah, very hard to judge so early in the year, and I think a lot of people going to that Roscommon game in Clarny were kind of saying we should have been a lot better than that or whatever, and then all of a sudden you see how strong they are, but only a point ahead of us after all that. It's funny how it goes in the end. John, back to the game. Look, 116-110, fair to say low enough scoring considering the new rules as well?
Yeah, it was low enough scoring, Ivan, and you'd have to say that, you know, again, it's down to when we needed, we got the few two-pointers from David and from Shawnee. Shawnee had an excellent game.
He did, to be fair.
He covered every day at Glasscrock Park. Did great defensive work. But I would say that we got pulled out our shape as well. There were several times David was inside in his own. He was being double-marked, you know, by McMahon when he came on. And, you know, the McGuinness, the midfielder, dropped back there as well. But it was a difficult game to sum up and repeat what I said. Slow pedestrian pace, no real urgency, carrying control. It looks as if we needed a score, we go up and get it.
Yeah.
That type of a game, and we were never going to lose the game, you know, even though Dublin made the spurt at the end, but we were 8 or 10 points better team all through.
Yeah.
And that was, and the result was never in doubt, really.
Yeah, even in the first half, like, we were so dominant.
Yeah.
We still went in 6-9 at half time.
Yeah.
No, you'd be kind of scratching your head and saying we should be up a lot more here.
It's a small bit of a worry at this stage of the year. I know you're still waiting for so many to come back, and we'll talk about Jack's comments after the game as well a little later on, Liam, but is it kind of a case we want to go and put Dublin to the sword when you can in Croke Park as well? And, you know, if another goal went in for Dublin, all of a sudden things were in trouble, you know, with 10 or 15 minutes to go, it was kind of a game that you're kind of sitting back watching saying it's a foregone conclusion, and all of a sudden everyone kind of set up a small bit with 10 minutes to go saying, hang on, we need to finish this one off yet, like, you know.
Yeah, we don't seem to be putting teams to the sword really yet, but I suppose that'll come with fitness and come with sharpness and come with everything, hopefully, as the weeks go by. We'll go back to the Roscommon game again. We went up 7 points at two stages in that game and they brought us back.
Yeah.
You know, so if it was any other team, I think Saturday night they'd probably be in trouble as well. Only Dublin were so poor,
they were poor,
that they just really couldn't.
Yeah.
They couldn't break us down, or couldn't. They had very little scores compared to what Dublin used to have long ago.
So much Dublin what they scored. Like, we were in control, but the 2-pointer that Paddy Small got, Tig Morley in possession, gave a ball up in front of the Cusick stand. It was intercepted, and they came and got the 2 points from it. The same with the goal. It came from a ball we gave away under the stand and went out for the sideline. It was just that, a kind of a lethargic approach, you know, and we contributed to letting Dublin back into the game. It wasn't that Dublin were good, because, look, Dublin are in relegation trouble.
Yeah.
And you know, themselves now, and Armagh,
Monaghan,
you know, Galway even to a lesser extent, the four, well, Monaghan I think will be gone, but the other position will come from the other three. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd say Dublin won't be too happy where they're at, and Joe Brennan, because it's, he in his interview after, he spoke about the work rate and the lads never giving up and all that, but, you know, it's not about that. It's you know, they were rudderless, really. And I think when Con Callum went off, he was a huge loss, even though Jason Foley had him in his pocket, to be mm-hmm. fair, and when Ken Kinney went in, Jason was the first two balls went in, Jason won them, he set the tone, and Tadhg Marley had a great outing at number six. Yep. You know, we said here last week, Ivan, the centre of the defence was a mm-hmm. problem, and if the centre back was pulled, it gave very little cover to our full back line. That was remedied against Dublin, but Dublin didn't threaten really.
We've a lot of listeners in Dublin, John, and we know every time we go up there, we kind of get it heard or shouted at us. So, what's gone wrong with Dublin, Liam? You know, there's talks of transition and there's talks of, you know, the new management and all this kind of thing goes on. But you still look at the names here in the programme in front of us. There's so many top names with, you know, gluts of All-Ireland medals, and they can't seem to pull through. Maybe that next generation is with them. Obviously, the league is early doors and they'll come back. This is a team that were relegated a couple of years ago. Was it 23 they played in Division 2, wasn't it?
Come back and won the All-Ireland.
And come back and won the All-Ireland the same year.
Yeah.
Now, might be a different ballgame next year. They might win the All-Ireland after. But what exactly are we looking with Dublin saying? What's actually gone wrong here?
Look, to be fair to Dublin, they had a generational team. You know, the likes of Fintan, them, you know, the Mannions, the Brogans, and all these guys, and you know, you can't replace them. You know, and I think that's where. And if you look at Dublin underage with the past number of years as well, they hadn't been very successful. It has been the likes of Louth and all these teams that have been winning minors and winning under 20 competitions in Leinster. You know, so Dublin have to go back to the basics again and start over. Now Conn was a big loss, all right, when he went off at half time, mm-hmm. but the likes of Paddy Small and you know, Larkin O'Dell and these guys, Niall Scully, have they seen the best of their days?
Pass, you know, the shake.
It's grand when you have a very good team around you, but you know, these guys, you'd wonder, you know, the fellas that have come in and replaced, as we said, the older fellas that have retired, mm-hmm. you know, they have big shoes to fill, and they don't seem to be able to, you know, to push it on either.
Like Liam said, they were a generational team, Ivan, but I think, you know, the guys that left the Brogans and these, but I think Brian Fintan, Jack McCaffrey,
yeah.
you know, James McCarthy, those guys. You know, they went to war. They were excellent footballers. They had a superb team. They're in transition. Is the appetite there from the lads that Niamh mentioned? They have a pocket full of All-Ireland medals. Do they need it? And are the young fellas good enough? Maybe they'll prove us wrong later on. But certainly, on the evidence, what we saw Saturday night, you know, the Brian Howards and these guys, they didn't perform. Are they in a huge block of training? Are they worried about the league? I think Joe Brennan is a very good manager. We saw what he did with Louth. But there's a big hill to climb for Dublin.
Was that loss to Meath last year in the Leinster Championship, Liam, was that a sign of kind of Dublin, I wouldn't say downfall is the wrong thing to say after they're on this high for so long, but kind of realisation that this can't go on forever, that you can't keep winning All-Irelands and can't, you know, keep dominating in Leinster or whatever else. Was that Meath win, when you look back at it now last April, kind of this kind of big turning point for Dublin? Or maybe it was on the way, but that was kind of a real shot in the foot last year as well.
Yeah, it was on the way, looking at their league performances and stuff like that. But definitely when they were turned over in the Leinster Championship, that was a big sign that this Dublin team will have to go back to the basics again and start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, generational players like John has said there as well. No, impossible to replace them. No, but have the younger guys the ability, you know, to push on. No, you'd wonder, and because they hadn't done it at minor level, they hadn't done it under 20 level, and that's where it's important. You know, you need to be bringing guys along, and we've been doing that, even though we haven't been winning All Irelands, but we've been competing at the top table and stuff like that. Likes of Armin Heinrich, you know, Keith Evans, all these guys, Killian Trent. We're drip feeding players in like that, and when you have good older players around with them as well, you know, they fit in seamlessly. And I don't think Dublin have been struggling with that with the last couple of years.
Yeah, hard to bring them through, I suppose. Lads, we have to take a quick break. Do keep the comments and texts coming in to us, 083 300 3300, on text or WhatsApp, or you can give a call to the studio, 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Okay, get to the comments. On Saturday evening at the game above in Croke Park, coming up to the 30th minute in the first half, when Shawnee O'Shea kicked for a two-pointer outside the large circular course, and the umpires seemed to be caught in no man's land and hesitated at first, then reluctantly signalled for Hawkeye. It took up to a minute for Hawkeye to respond, and when it did not confirm where the ball went wide, and went for the easy decision of a wide ball signalled Neil. Some of us in the Cusick stand about 35 metres away could see it had curled inside and high above the right upright, and it was definitely a score. In Páirc Éireann yesterday, a Meath player with his legs barely outside of the arc kicked the ball over the Cork crossbar, yet it was signalled a one-pointer. I believe this level, this should not be happening, but it is. Look at the condition these players are training week in, week out, and so they should get fair play. That's from Michael Brosson below there in Skibbereen. Liam, I'll start, two kind of part question here. I suppose we start with Hawkeye, and I was working in studio here on Saturday, so I didn't make the trip to Croke Park myself, but got to watch it on the television, and it was dead right. I don't know how it came across in Croke Park, but it seems to take forever, first and foremost, which really kind of takes football has only gone like hurling now. It's kind of next puck out, it needs to be quick. It took forever, and then when it came up on the screen at home, it just said Neil. The ball, there was a red line for the ball that we didn't see the goalpost or anything. It usually plays the ball through with the red line, then Tor Neil comes up. That didn't happen at home, and I don't think Hawkeye was used actually after that again. I think it was just, that was the one time it was called for in the game. But strange that, like, you know, we talk about technology here and VAR and all this kind of stuff, and if we can't use the technology we have, it's kind of a worry, isn't it?
It is. I suppose Hawkeye had a bit of a virus, because Shawnee Shea one, like, the Seagulls even saw that was a score, like, you know. So it was look, with all the technology that's out there, and even the one, the Cork match, I saw that last night, and I saw the, I don't know, you could see that he was well outside the arc as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where you got to need your technology for big decisions like that. Because I agree with our listener, you know, teams are training so hard, there's so much money being put into it, you can't be losing big games, you know, on mistakes like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just on the Hawkeye, John, I mean, like, again, it's great to have the technology, but there's surely something can go wrong, and I totally understand that. You see it here, screens go down, all that sort of stuff. But it is disappointing, like, that, you know, you do go up and you're playing this, you know, 82,000 seater stadium. It has the technology put in to help us with these scores. We've seen it kind of help with All-Ireland. I think that Tipperary point that went wide, they brought Kilkenny tip to a replay a good few years ago. Like, we've used it in big occasions. And then, okay, it didn't affect the scoreline in this one, like, but it is kind of disappointing, isn't it?
Oh, it's very disappointing, Ivan. You know, like Liam said, and your listener there, Michael Brosson, he hit the nail on the head, spot on. Too much time and effort going in. Management, players, you know, it's okay, Kerry won the game, no problem. But from a Meath point of view, look at that game. If Meath lose out on promotion, that could be crucial.
That could be crucial,
you'll go into a championship, which is more crucial again.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's not good enough. And, you know, even, we start with the umpires. You look at the positioning. We've watched it, Liam and myself, because Liam has been an umpire. Standing at the post is not good enough.
No, you have to be behind.
Not good enough. And I know in Croke Park with the nets and stuff, you're restricted, but you cannot be standing at the post. It's a team game, and you can be caught. The game has gone so fast. There's no excuse for it now. Mm-hmm. And Hawkeye, it should be, if it is there, it should be on, ready, straight. You get your answer, yes or no, job done. But the crowd around me the last evening, the dub saying, this guy never misses when Shawnee O'Shea kicked, and it was Neil. There was a big cheer. So, like, it's, but it had no relevance to the outcome, but it shouldn't be happening.
Down along the line, it could.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
My biggest fear is the All-Ireland final now. It'd be like Tomás Kennedy's point that he got against Roscommon.
Yeah.
You know, that can happen in All-Ireland final just as quick. All-Ireland semi-final, and you could lose out over it. You'd be very sore after it.
Yeah, like, Hawkeye won't be able to check those sort of things. It's literally just the ball I go over the bar. On that respect, right, and I know, let's say, the likes of tennis is probably the best example for Hawkeye, in the way that we know it using in GAA terms, that it's kind of only used if it needs to be, or if it's called or whatever else. Should the Hawkeye be kind of in real time in Croke Park when the technology is there, that if an umpire calls something wide, we don't check it on Hawkeye unless it's called for? Should there be someone real time checking?
No, the way Croke Park works, you know, I've been at a couple of them courses for championship referees, is that if the umpire gets it right, Hawkeye won't call you. No, but if the umpire gets it wrong, if I put the flag up and the ball has gone wide, Hawkeye will come in automatically to the umpire's ear and tell him call for Hawkeye. So that's why you see the square. Okay. Someone's after coming into his ear calling,
or if it's close,
if it's close and he doesn't know what to do, he'll call it himself.
So there is someone watching.
Like, exactly, there is someone watching it live. So to be fair, you cannot get you cannot get a point wrong in Croke Park anymore, because if I put the flag
unless the technology fails,
yeah, because if I put the flag up and it was gone wide, Hawkeye will come in anyway. So no matter what will happen, if the decision is wrong, Hawkeye will come in. But if I make the right decision, Hawkeye won't come next to near me.
It might have been a dub using it maybe on Saturday.
Yeah, we
quite
call
possibly.
It instead of Hawkeye, we call it Seagull Eye. Yeah. There's definitely something wrong with
there
it.
There was
anyway.
Something wrong with
a lot
it.
A lot of seagulls up there.
John, that is an interesting one then on the one that Michael says about the game in Cork. I mean, look, this is... It's going to be hard, especially this time of year. Fields are kind of muddy, lines, you know, referees. Like, there's so much going on, and we've said that a good few times, but it's something we're definitely going to have to watch with the two-pointers. I think it happened in a ladies' game. I saw a clip online. It was Monaghan and Tipperary. Monaghan, you know, got a perfect two-pointer. It was given as a one.
It happened yesterday in the Kerry ladies as well.
Oh, did it happen to the Kerry ladies as well?
Even though she was well inside the two-pointer, he gave it the umpire put it up as an orange flag, and they gave it an extra to hit. He had to go to the sideline to get it
sorted. Yeah. You see,
there's so much happening now, even for referees.
So much happening. Yeah. And you're kind of, some of them are very, very close. Is the boot inside the line? Is it outside the line? It's such a fine margin to be a 2-point score, 1-point score, John, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, you know, that was the championship game down in Park Erin, to be fair. You know, it was a 4-pointer match because huge crowd there. Great day for Cork, and, you know, they're on a run, and this is a very good meet side. But it can't happen, Ivan, that there's two linesmen. And there's a referee. The linesman should be watching that arc, because this is critical in the game now. And, you know, that is very disappointing. And to be fair to the Meath management team, they didn't mention it afterwards. They didn't. They just said, we got the... I think what he said to quote him was, we got the rub of the green in the last few games.
That's right, yeah.
And we didn't get it today. And, you know, a lot of managers wouldn't take that stance. But... No, it's in there now. It's up to the GA and it's up to the officials to make sure that they man it and that they do it properly, because if it's not, it'll cause chaos later on in the championship.
Yeah, most definitely. Hate to bang on the same drum, Liam, but Croke Park is a home venue for Dublin.
We love it, though.
we love it. What was it, 20,000-odd? I didn't hear the
official between the hurling
and the hurling and football. Like, yeah. So, I mean, there's probably maybe the bonus is 16, 17 at either game at one time. It's a bit soulless, Croke Park, when it's not full on an Ireland semi-final. It's great facility, don't get me wrong, but would that game have been brilliant in Parnell Park, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of talk about the Dubs, I think, at the way they're going. That they, you know, even in among themselves, that they are probably belting the drum now, maybe to bring their games to Parallel Park. You know, tighter pitch,
yeah,
a crowd atmosphere. On top of you, good atmosphere, yeah. Because they need something now to give the team a lift. You know, that kind of way. It's like us when we go up to Aston-Stack Park. The atmosphere is great up there. You know, the crowd are on top of you.
Yeah.
You know, when Kerry are going well, you can see the crowd gives them that lift.
Mm-hmm.
But from Croke Park last day, the Dub supporters, I think I just heard them singing in the second half, John, for 2-3 minutes,
yeah.
And that was it. Whereas above, if that was in Parnell Park, you'd have a great atmosphere. There'd be a bit more bite because the crowd on top of you, like Ballyshannon the 2 weeks before it,
yeah.
You know, the crowd were on top of the players, you know, it gives that little bit more of an edge, and you know, it's a better game.
Yeah, to be fair, Kerry Galway was an edgy enough affair, John, wasn't it? I mean, you had the big crowd there, again, not the 7 o'clock, not the late game, but we've seen over the years with Kerry Dublin inside Aston-Stack Park, the late 7 o'clock game on Saturday, rain, sleet, cold, it adds something to it. It's what the leagues are about, isn't it?
It's what the leagues are about. Like, look, we saw Armagh and Donegal there as well. The atmosphere, you know, a huge crowd in Armagh. I think it lends to the atmosphere. But having said that, I think if you asked a lot of the counties if they got an opportunity to play in Croke Park, they'd take it. And you know, regardless of the crowd. But to say the game didn't lend to the crowd getting involved Saturday night.
Yeah.
And the crowd didn't get involved because the game was flat. So it was a real dull affair, you know. But having said that, you know, there's something, it's every player wants to play in Croke Park. But I think that Dublin, like Liam said, I think they might be looking at Parnell Park now for atmosphere alone, like, because there would be some atmosphere there regardless who's playing.
Yeah, I think Meath are playing their home games there at the moment.
Dublin and Croke Park as well, yeah.
Croke Park, yeah, Park Dalton. Hi lads, is 116 our lowest score since the new rules came in?
Is, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. It couldn't, yeah, it mightn't be too far off it, really, to be fair. We still got our share of kind of two pointers and everything else. It's just, it was again a game that kind of just didn't lend to many scores.
We just went through the motions.
Yep.
No, we did what we had to do. No, we kicked the two pointers when they were needed. No, Tony Braston, I suppose, and was it in the 49th minute? No, could have hit the back of the net, but 6 minutes later he got another opportunity to hit the back of the net.
Yeah.
No, Tom Sullivan came along with one of his sweet kicks then again, you know, that we see from Tom off the side of the boot. You know, yeah. So it's it's only when we had to step it up, we stepped it up. But it like I said, we were just kind of going through the motions.
We kind of went in and out of fifth gear a few times, yeah. Tom, didn't we? We were kind of dipping away, and next year we went up a gear and down a gear. It was a strange one to kind of analyse, even, isn't it? I'm kind of here, kind of looking and kind of saying, how do you kind of analyse it back? You got the 2 points, you move on.
A few of the lads were on to me at halftime about the, you know, how dead it was, and I sent him a text back. There was more excitement queuing up to go to the Lure or to get a coffee. And that's the kind, like, the talk at halftime was how poor it was and how flat the game was. And that summed it up, like.
And that hasn't really been the case, John, since the new rules have come in, to be fair. In anything. We've seen, like, such a good McGrath Cup this year, even. Like, you won't even go to that length. We've seen great club championships, county championship in Kerry. Everything's been kind of, the new rules come in, it's been brilliant. And all of a sudden, this weekend, it just feels like it was nearly back to a couple of years ago again, all of a sudden, with these kind of somewhat, I wouldn't say poor games, kind of wrong thing to say, but, you know, the kind of a, the tempo wasn't really there.
And if you were asked before the league, you'd earmark this as being a high tempo game, and you know that Dublin would have a cut at Kerry, and regardless, we know they're in transition, but it didn't happen.
I think that's the main thing. Dublin didn't have a go at us.
No.
Like, if you look at the Rossies, you look at Donegal that we played, Galway, you know, two teams going at it the whole time, and it lends to a great atmosphere and a great game. Whereas Dublin just didn't look as if they could go at us.
No.
Yeah, and it's a pity because it was kind of I wouldn't say it was a must-win game for Kerry. It was probably a must-win game for Dublin, to be fair. But both teams kind of really needed the 2 points at this juncture. It came at a lovely time in the league where, you know, there's still everything is kind of to play for. It wasn't early in the league, it wasn't late in the league. So Kerry-Dublin, right kind of bang centre of the league campaign. It was one that kind of caught the eye in the fixture list, but just unfortunately after the 70, we were left with maybe more questions than answers.
Exactly, yeah. You know, like, and then definitely when we earmark at the start of the year, you'll be saying, it's a hard place to go to get 2 points up to Dublin. No matter how bad Dublin were down through the years, it was always a hard place to go. But Dublin need to get back, and they need to get teams into Parnell Park, and, you know, dig a few trenches and make it hard for teams to get out with points, because Croke Park at the moment doesn't suit that Dublin team.
Yeah,
it suits Kerry, and you could see it last day, like the some of the football that we played when we actually kicked the ball and stuff like that. You would say it does suit us.
What lends to that, Liam? Is it kind of the wide pitch, kind of the expansiveness of the whole place?
I suppose, yeah. And look, we'll harp back about our tradition as well. Kerry players, you know, we've all grown up wanting to play in Croke Park, and like John said there 5 minutes ago, teams love playing in Croke Park, and I think for Kerry to get into Croke Park this early in the year and get a run out there is good as well. And no, but
for our younger friends, like the Keith Evans, he picked up a ball in the second half the last night, 21 metres from his own goals.
That's right, yeah.
And he jinked his way through, and he
slalomed two players,
and it was brilliant to see it. Like, but look, that'll stand to him and Killian Trant in particular as well, like, who did quite well and worked very hard. You know, you can substitute playing in headquarters against Dublin regardless regardless what Dublin team is out, because you know there's a respect there for Dublin from Kerry and vice versa.
Yeah, we actually spoke about this, Liam, last week with John, and that's actually a good point there, John. Is like we're talking about kind of bloodying the young lads before others come back. We saw Graham O'Sullivan come back last week. See like the likes of Mark O'Shea, Paddy Clifford, come back this week. So like for those young lads, like age get blooded in the Kerry jersey number one, and but now they've kind of got that game in Croke Park under their belt as well. As much as you kind of said, Parnell Park be a better atmosphere and everything, maybe it's a good game for them to kind of, they've worn the senior jersey, they've gone out in Croke Park, it's kind of all done and dusted by the time you get maybe to an Ireland semi-final. Obviously completely different environment, but it's going to be the exact same thing. The bus will go in the same way, you'll go into the same dressing room, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, like I said, even at the start, these guys are building up their stock, and that's what they are doing. No, and you see the likes of Liam Smith and all these guys that done O'Sullivan coming off the bench as well. No, so it's adding to the squad, and we see how last year how important it was to have a squad. But like when you see Evan Looney is starting to fit in there, cornerback Armin Heinrich, Killian Trent, you have Keith Evans, Mark O'Shea. These guys now are starting to hold their hand up for a jersey. And look at the guys that we're missing. So it'll be first of all, it'll be hard to make the 15, but it'll be even harder to make the match day 24 or 25.
They'll be fair going to Killarney for training.
There will be fair going. And I think listening to the interviews, you know, in the past week or two, you know, that's what they're aiming at.
Yeah.
You know, they need something different. Last year's way won't win the All-Ireland again for us this year. So they're trying to get something different. And I think that they're looking at the A versus B matches and the competitiveness and everything to drive it on.
You mentioned Liam Smith. When Dublin got the goal, there was 3 points in it. They kicked a big high one into the square. Smith went into the clouds, reminiscent of Darragh O'Shea in his prime. But there was 2 or 3 dubs around him. He won his ball, he came down, he was fouling the free out. That's brilliant for him, because this is a young, a novice, we'll call him, at this level. But, you know, getting out and getting into Croke Park, and that augurs well for the season ahead and for the competition. Like you said, last year is gone. What happened last year, we have to replicate that. And more.
You talk about Seth, that's a good one from an anonymous listener here. Kerry only scored 116 yesterday, that's 19 points. Mayo won by that amount.
I'm not sure Mayo are going to win San Maguire.
There we go.
Mayo have been won.
Well, we'll talk about Mayo after the break. Kobe McDonald made headlines, I think, the weekend, the youngster for Mayo. Do keep those texts coming to us, 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp that, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. You're in the midst of our chat with John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, of course, on Kerry's victory over Dublin in the Allianz Football League at the weekend. Liam, we mentioned about the kind of league table now and where it leaves Kerry. Everyone's played 4 now. This is Kerry in 4th of 8th, 5 points. Mayo and Roscommon a point ahead of Kerry. Donegal obviously leading the way, 4 wins from 4, which is great. Kerry in a fairly strong position, considering they had to go up to Donegal. Obviously kind of playing Croke Park every year is always kind of a questionable one, if you want to call it that, although a lot of people had expected Kerry to win it, but that's only because of Dublin's earlier form in the league. If it was the first game, we'd have been 50-50 on it. So good return so far, all things considered.
Yeah, look, 4, was it 4 away and 4 at home and 3 away this year.
Your
home games are important, and I think the Monaghan game next weekend is a big game to be picking up points, because look, you have Mayo in as well in Tralee. Is it the following weekend?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a big game. Mayo are going to be coming to town full of confidence. They have the Kobe factor now as well coming into it.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be a good game. And then, like, you wouldn't want to be going up to Armagh looking for points.
Would not, no.
No, you wouldn't, no.
Because we saw Armagh against Donegal yesterday. You know, they're starting to, even though they're not picking up points, they're still playing good, tough football.
Yeah.
No. So, and it's not an easy place to go if you are looking for points. You know. So I think it'd be important for the next 2 home games that we can get something out of the both of them.
Yeah. Like barring Monaghan and Armagh, so they're the 2 teams behind us we have to play. We've Mayo above us. So technically with Roscommon and Donegal, it's in their hands to drop a couple of points for Kerry to get up there, which happens in the league, John, to be fair.
Yeah.
So it's not really in Kerry's hands as such to get to league final, but you'd imagine a win over Monaghan, hopefully Mayo inside Nosside Park, you could potentially be barreling down a league final before you ever head up to Armagh then. And realistically speaking, you'd imagine 7 points. I know we mentioned last week that Tyrone got relegated under 7 last year, but you'd be looking at this league table, look at the likes of Dublin and Armagh being so far behind, you'd imagine 7 would nearly keep you safe now.
It looks as if it would, Ivan. And a big game next weekend is Roscommon in Dublin. Roscommon win, they have one leg in the final.
Yeah.
With Donegal.
If Roscommon lose, well then it's really open up. But look, all Kerry can do is look after them. They have 3 games, 2 of them at home, 1 away. That one in Armagh could be a tasty one.
It could, because we could be going to Armagh maybe to qualify for a league final, and they might need the points to stay up.
Yeah.
So it could be a good one.
For a draw before it's there. That day and age is gone, I'd say. We're on league tables. I want to look at League 2, and I want to bring your attention to our League 2 side, Division 2, to concentrate on the soccer after the weekend. Division 2, Tyrone in 5th, 1 win, 1 draw, 2 losses. We talk about the Tailteann Cup, lads, right? And look, Tyrone will be fine, you'd imagine, right? Because you've got Cavan and Offaly kind of down below them there, and they'll pick up another maybe win or two. It goes to show the pearls of going down to Division 2, doesn't it, Liam?
It does, yeah. It's a quagmire down there, because like every team in Division 2, and I suppose, what do you call it, in the Sunday game last night put it across very well. In Division 1 at times you have teams, whether they take the leg off the accelerator a small bit, but in Division 2 every team is going flat out to the first game to the last game. You know, and you could see it is very competitive.
Yeah, and more so now than ever, with the kind of that lure of the potential for a Tailteann Cup, and Tyrone being in Ulster, you couldn't be relying on an Ulster final there. Cork leading the way.
Yeah,
our neighbours.
Cork looking good, and you know, you look at Derry, Meath, Louth, Tyrone, Kildare. No easy games there. Like, you know, it's really competitive, but Cork really going well. A big test next weekend up in Derry. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Tyrone on the other hand have Offaly, who are going poorly, missing a lot of players, should get the 2 points there, which will ease their worry. Yeah. I don't think Tyrone will go down, you know. But
no. You could see Cork with Cleary even from the Murgah Cup.
Yeah.
He started strong. The very first game in the Murgah Cup, he went out, because I was reading a few things up in it, and there were some supporters were giving out that he should be bringing in young players and stuff like that. But he went out strong, and you could see from the very word go. They went out, won the Murgah Cup, got off to a good league campaign, and it's, you can see where they are now.
If Kerry and Cork get to almost the final this year, you won't be calling for it to be on in Mahon Point Shopping Centre. We'll take Fitzgerald Stadium, I think.
I forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that up again, Ivan.
They're going very well.
On a serious note, and we've said it several times before, and in no more than Dublin and Leinster, you need Cork going well in Munster.
We do need them going well.
We're going back to the old days, and maybe for the sake of to move on, but Kerry, Cork and a Munster final in Killarney, there was nothing to beat it.
Yeah.
Atmosphere, Cork brilliant supporters.
Killarney's turn this year as well, isn't it? If it is Kerry Cork.
It's brilliant. And Cleary, you know, he's had a few tough years, but they seem to have turned the corner. That was a huge game against Meath to win, and they won it. You know, a real championship game.
Yeah,
it's great. And like that, it's a huge test for them in Páirc Uaireann as well, which was nice to see. In Páirc Uaireann and Great Nick as well. Obviously, so many games in Páirc Uaireann now. The potential that the Cork footballers might have to play a game in Páirc Uaireann with a Zach Bryan concert on in Páirc Uaireann in the summer. So I think there was kind of a trial run for them to get maybe more used to the surroundings in Páirc Uaireann, but maybe clever tactics to bring Meath there as well when they needed to do so.
The one thing with Cork, we see now the likes of Powter and all these guys are playing good football.
Yeah.
No, and I agree with John 100%. Kerry need Cork going well, and it's not been patronising.
No.
It's just that rivalry in the whole lot. And if you go back to the games we played last year against Cork, there was a kick of a ball in them.
No,
and it was probably the toughest game that we had. We were like casualty after one of them.
Yeah.
No, not if you're Joe O'Connor's goal.
The extra time was.
No, so yeah. So a good Cork team going well will always bring out the best in a Kerry man.
Yeah, and it could be very good in a potential once to final ahead of an All Ireland series as well. It could be a great occasion in Clarny, which they always tend to be in July. A bit weird that they're kind of May, but they're pushed out a week. It was the Maybank holiday the last 2 years. It's pushed out now till the following week. So fingers crossed, Kerry, of course, overcome Clare, and you need Cork to come true. The opposite is that we won't count our chickens just yet, and there'll be someone taping this and saying they were talking about the Munster final before a game against Clare. That'll be hung up in the dressing room somewhere, I think. Hi, lads. If Mayo can keep Kobe McDonald for the championship, they'll be a real threat. Kobe was 2 years old when Aidan O'Shea first played a game for Mayo. Big win against Monaghan. Again, can we kind of with all due respect to Monaghan, bottom of the league, no points, big scores kind of conceded in every game, but Mayo will fancy their chance to potential league final as well, John?
There was a bit of pressure on Andy Moran going up because, you know, they had a poor result the week before. Monaghan not going well, I think Rory Began was out, McInnesby, number of players missing, and, toughen on Brannigan because he did a great job last year. But they had to win the game. But I think it's not so much the win, it was the manner of the victory, the scores they got, and the reception Kobe McDonald got was deafening from the Mayo travelling supporters, and he certainly delivered a real talent. A pity to see him going if he does go, regardless of he being a non-Kerry man. You have to respect talent whenever you see it. This guy is class. A chip off the old block, in fairness, and took his goal really well. But I was more impressed with the two-pointer into the wind. Fantastic score. But his reaction afterwards, he's only a childlike, but there was a smile in his face, and it's great to see that. Somebody said if you met Monaghan in a championship game or an Ulster team, it might be different, but you play what's in front of you. Great win for them. Great also to see Conor Loftus back playing football. Played at centre-back, made an appearance the previous week, but started at centre-back. Fantastic footballer, went through tough times. Great to see him back playing.
Yeah, I think another one of our analysts here, Andrew Boyd, had a tweet up the weekend saying you need to put a dome over Mayo so the Aussie Rules can't take Kobe McDonald away with them.
He's gone, all right, but they're trying to keep him. He's gone to St Kilda's, that's signed. They're hoping to keep him for the championship.
For the championship, yeah. No, it'll be great to see when you see young players going well at either county level. Now, talking point in the Irish Examiner today was Jack O'Connor, and we were chatting about this off air yesterday as well and this morning, and what he said about the players coming back and the kind of, I suppose, what would you call it, the kind of that not finishing out games as strong. And this is what Jack O'Connor had to say, and we have the audio from the piece in the Examiner as well.
Jack, those big leads, I mean, I suppose last year, 10.12 leads were cut down. We were all kind of a bit surprised, John. Are they just part and parcel now? A 12-point lead can be a 2-point lead.
There's a bit of that there, but there's also the fact that a lot of officials are putting back training until the first week of January. You know what I mean? So they're still finding their feet and trying to get miles in the clock. You know, the vast majority of other teams were back earlier than us because the nature of the club scene in Kerry, there was local divisional championship going on to the end of November. Now you have to give them December off, and then they're back in January, and that's late. That gives you 3 weeks to start of the league. So that's where we're at. I think that accounts for the fact that maybe we're not finishing games as strong as we should.
So there you go, that's our Kerry manager, Jack O'Connor. It's an interesting one, John, in the fact that, you know, obviously we've been kind of talking about Dingle and Ungrated and Ballymac. Probably hadn't considered kind of players playing up till the end of November and taking that month off. But are we kind of, you know, at the end of February now, are we able to kind of excuse maybe the not seeing out games to players playing up till the end of November now at this stage? Or are we not being mindful enough of the players maybe ourselves?
I think, you know, every manager wants to look after his own, Ivan, and this is something, it's not Jack's first time saying this, being honest. I've heard him saying this several times before about the three championships in Kerry and how competitive it is. After an All-Ireland, there's no break, you're back into it, it's really, and wear and tear, lads going for little bits of operations to tidy up stuff and stuff. But I don't think to so much now, but I think this is in the back of his mind. And it keeps coming up when certain questions are asked. Of course, every manager wants his guys fresh to come in and do it up. But look, I think Tom Sullivan came in Saturday night and he didn't look too unfit, or he didn't look as if he were too sharp.
Yeah, he's been playing all year.
And he's carried it on. It's about how it is managed, of course. And certainly, you look at the divisional championships, how many players were involved in divisional championships up to the end and the final stages of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think very few, to be fair. But if we were the Kerry manager, or if we were managing a team, an inter-county team, Liam, we'd want all our players in to start at the same time and that get that build-up, get that block of training in. I can see where he's coming from, to a point, but I think that,
It is what it is.
Yeah. And I can't, whatever about in Congress next week, it's about moving the championship back, I can see that being left as it is.
Yeah,
you know, I can't see it, even though I think it should go back, maybe have 2 weeks or maybe a bit
there should
between
be a week between the hurling and the football.
And the football,
really.
They should.
Yeah,
I think I would be for that, but
I can't see anything happening in the club scene in Kerry, in particular in Kerry, and we're discussing Kerry now, can't see it really happening. Will the clubs vote to change the system? Very doubtful. Will they vote that the county players won't play in divisional championships? I don't think so.
No, and that's the kind of the bread and butter for your divisional championships, isn't it? When you see the inter-county players playing for the clubs. It's interesting, Liam, that this has come kind of the same week that we learned that the county board are set to not vote through this extending the inter-county season by the 2 weeks into August. It's 2 weeks, we probably don't have at the end of the year, and I distinctly remember sitting here kind of, I think it was the 8th or 9th of January or December last year, saying, geez, we're done and dusted, all the divisional championships are played, you know, we were thinking about Santee coming down the chimney in a few weeks. We've often seen them being played Stephen's Day. Yep. If you push it 2 more weeks and if Kerry gets an All-Ireland final, you're talking now the 14th, 15th of December, wet pitches, yep, those divisional finals probably won't get played. That's exactly where those 2 weeks were, is how it suits everything to be done and dusted before Santee lands in the kingdom.
Exactly. And I suppose, look, in the perfect world, we'd love to have that 2 weeks, but with fixtures and everything, you just can't, because, like, Jack there is on about the month they have off in December. If you push it out 2 weeks, they're going to have less time again.
Yeah.
You know, so and this is all caused, really, by the split season. Mm. No, because they're in the ball kicked, really, for at a championship level for clubs until the county team until they're out. You know, so I can't look. It has served us well in Kerry for a lot of years, the district championships and stuff like that. And I saw some of these guys, not all of them, because there was only a handful of them playing in district finals. And when they won, they jumped around the field with fair celebrations. You know, so it's something that I think we'll just have to get on with.
Yeah, like, John, if Jack had a full 26 panel to choose from, the Hatfield Ireland final for the first round of the league, I'd imagine, regardless of how they got on in clubs, they wouldn't really be playing the first couple of rounds of the league, would they, realistically speaking? Like, you always give them that kind of bit of break. It was always the case even years ago, the first, you know, couple of weeks were always kind of bringing in lads who we weren't hugely used to seeing the league competitions. I think regardless of how long the club scene went on, and obviously those couple of niggles that Liam mentioned, they're still being ironed out. I don't think he's been playing the full team in the first round of the league.
I don't think
anyway.
So, and like, it proved last year what he did when the injuries occurred, and how positive he was with his management team, and the lads that they unearthed, which won the All-Ireland for us eventually. That was brilliant. And even this year again, you know, the Keith Evanses and the Killian Trants, the Evan Looney's, all these guys, they're getting game time, which is going to be invaluable going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's getting tougher, because every championship in Kerry, the competition is so high, so intense. Mm-hmm. And the county players, as we've said it, they've led by example this year in all the division, in all the championships.
They have, yeah.
A few years back, we were saying here, you wouldn't know this guy was playing. You certainly knew the county man was playing this past year.
Yeah.
They were outstanding, mm-hmm, right through. And that's a credit to them. But it's about managing it properly. And there's no better man and management team than Jack to do it, get their strength and conditioning right. And obviously, like Liam said earlier on, drip feed them into the system and give them game time before the championship.
And you can see his point as well, because January is a very busy time because you have Sigerson. You know, and most of these guys, they're in college. You know, so you're trying to deal with Sigerson, you're trying to deal with Maguire Cups, you're trying
three
to deal with training.
All Ireland finals,
so it can be frustrating for management teams. All right, so I suppose there wasn't much to be talking about after the Dublin match, so Jack said he'd throw that out there anyway.
And
Dingle
and Ballymack as well.
And it was an exceptional year for us at club level as well.
Yeah.
But I think John Kiley made a point about the hurling, the number of players he'd involved in the Fitzgibbon with both Mary Eye and the UL.
Yeah.
He said, we love if it was played before Christmas. But it isn't, and we got to get on with it.
We want something different to suit the other person. We've literally 20 seconds, Ian, so I'm just going to say to you, Kerry Monaghan next Sunday, we're expecting a win. Do you want a good margin?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And just the intensity up a bit, and work on small things like that.
And not be biting the nails with a couple of minutes to go.
Not be biting the nails with a couple of nails to go again, yeah.
Lads, we're heading to news, and we'll be back with ladies football after we take this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
From the sidelines to the stand. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Yeah, no, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you. We're here till 8 o'clock this evening, as ever. Keep your texts and comments coming into us, 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can call 066 712-3666. Connor says we shouldn't be worried about Dublin. Let's worry about our own team. Well, to be fair, we try to cover all bases on Terrace Talk as best as we can to put in. It'll always be Kerry-centric, but a lot of nice people in Dublin, including the guards, John. I wasn't going to let you away with this one. A nice guard let you take his parking space outside Crow Park, and he said he'd be listening tonight, so I hope he's listening up in Dublin.
I'd have to say, Ivan, I ran it a bit late, and I was looking for parking, and this guy, fair play to him, didn't get his name, but he listened to Terrace Talk, if you don't mind. And just a shout out to him tonight, because pressure was on, lovely parking spot, and got home safe after, so
he apologised to the guard for John's parking.
He moved the guard and keep it all for you, fair play to him. It does go to show people do listen, though, and outside the county as well. And we do appreciate it. Our Jane Lawr listenership out last week, lads, were up big, big numbers, which is great as well. And obviously people listening online across the world, it does fill us with confidence that we might be talking about the right things.
Well,
that's the other side of it. But they're listening anyway, regardless. So yeah, hello to all the guards in Dublin that might have us tuned our way in the stations across the capital this evening. Commiserations on your defeat on Saturday night. We'll probably meet again somewhere around the championship, maybe in Crow Park, and John will be back to take the same parking space. He's pinned on Google Maps now where that space was. Now, unfortunately, our Kerry ladies suffered a big defeat the weekend at home to our rivals in Cork in Ostag Park. 16 points to 8, the final score. They were trailing by 14 points at the short whistle, unfortunately, in a big uphill task from there. Liam was obviously there for us with analysis the weekend, and Breed O'Shea on the line was on commentary duty. Good evening, Breed. We'll bring you in on this. Look, probably a disappointing day in a day that Kerry kind of wanted to get their home form on track in this little ladies National Football League, and it just didn't happen for them.
I think that just about sums it up spot on, and good evening to everybody. Look, these things happen. Even speaking with Mark Burke after the game, he couldn't put his finger on it. He said training had gone well during the week, and compared to the Kerry side, and Liam will say this as well, compared to the Kerry side we saw 2 weeks ago, it was like chalk and cheese. It just didn't happen. Yes, we can allude to the wind, and that the wind was ferocious there, especially in that first half, and Cork had it to their backs, and fair play to Cork, they used it to their advantage. But on the other hand of that, like I was there earlier on looking up in the stats, Katie Quirk got 6 frees. 2 of those were easy tap overs from breaches. So it's one thing we alluded to a lot in commentary. I think the last day there seemed to be just a breakdown in communication between the players out on the field as to who was staying up, who wasn't staying up. Maybe does that go back to management? Was nobody on the sideline watching the breach as well? Speaking to other ex-players and supporters at half-time, there was questions on the rule of the breach, that 2 of them were brought forward for a kickable free. The 3rd breach was given as an accidental breach, and that was given as a free at the halfway line. So it is betting into these new rules as well, but you have to give credits to Cork. They came with, I suppose, nothing to lose as such, and as it stands at the moment, they're up on the top of the Division 1 table. Kerry are in. Look, going into the game, we thought a win would keep us safe and everything like that. But as it stands at the moment, Dublin had a win as well at the weekend, so it's pushing everybody up behind us. Meath won as well, so they're level with us on points now. So it just makes the last few games that more crucial in getting wins.
The first half, Breeda, I mean, look, that's going to take the headlines. 14 points to no score. All-Ireland champions Kerry up against a Cork team who, as you said, moved to the top of the table. But at home in particular as well, and conditions, I know, against them at wind and everything else. I know Kerry had a couple of chances at goal that maybe they could have slotted over points as well. But that has to be a cause for concern going forward for Mark Burke and his management team.
It definitely does. It's like the movement of the players just wasn't there the last day. Yes, we did get those three chances. Two of them were excellent saves by Sarah Murphy inside the Cork goal. You have to give her credits for that. And then there was another rasper of a shot from Mary O'Connell that came back off the post. If one of them had gone in, would it, especially in those opening few minutes? We do have to allude to the fact of, like, for 10 minutes in that first half, we were without Kelly McGrath as well because she got sin binned. So you were down to 14 players. Yes, these things all feed into it, but there just seemed to be lack of cohesion between the girls as to who was playing where or in what position. And I know that, yes, they're trying out these transitional teams to find new players as such, and that the bench will be strengthened come championship time. But in doing that and constantly changing them around, players aren't getting bedded into, okay, I'm coming out a wing back with the ball. I know Danielle is out on the wing. I know Niamh Conacher is in the centre. Whereas Niamh Conacher seemed to be slotting in at midfield. Danielle was on the bench. She came on as the game went on. But at that stage, we were chasing the game at that stage. And maybe it's time to bed down on a team. Again, like management alluded after the game, that no heading into Galway's game next week, they'll rotate again. So I'm not too sure on how many games you can keep this rotation going in that. Yes, I think we do have a full month from maybe the end of the league to Munster Championship starting that you can bed in a team then and challenge games and stuff like that. But if you're looking with the eyes to being in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day in August, you kind of want to be strengthening that team at the moment. And yes, I know, like, speaking with Mark Burke afterwards, he alluded to the fact of, like, that was Cork's championship team out in the field yesterday. A few weeks ago we played Waterford. That was Waterford's championship team. They've no extra new players to come in. I know, fair enough, Deirdre Kearney was there and she was warming up and at halftime playing around with the girls yesterday, so that alludes to her coming back. But unfortunately, we probably lost another player yesterday in Ava Doherty, mm-hmm, being stretchered off the field.
Is it very strange to say, Breda, that we've won our two away games and lost our two home? But like, I think I mentioned to you last week, and we say it about the men's football a lot, but especially in the league and sorting the doors, it's kind of winning your home games is crucial. If you can pick up maybe a win or two on the road, great, but to win two on the road and not win two at home is almost kind of a mad sort of a stat, isn't it?
It is a kind of a mad sort of a stat, but I think if you look back on the men's league last year, it was pretty much along the same lines as well, that they were winning on the road and not at home. Maybe it's the fact of, and I said it to John Drummond yesterday, it was like we were giving out about the two pitches that we travelled to and that the facilities weren't there, and that maybe the girls actually prefer playing in those pitches, or that it gives them that edge or something. But no, yesterday's performance, it just, and like all last week I kept hearing the interview with Kieran McGeaney, in that he reckoned that his own team had stayed in the dressing room stayed in the hotel for the first half against Galway, I think it was. But there was an element of that yesterday. There was no drive in the girls. There was no kick up and go, and there was nobody taking the game by the grasp of the neck, especially when they went like 6-7 points down. They still just went through their paces instead of somebody thinking outside the box or trying something different. And like in my eyes, heading into championship, that's what we need. We need that spark. We need somebody that's going to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and take it on. I know Niamh Carmody didn't start yesterday. I think that was due to illness. She would have probably made a difference. And like I did mention there, Cott Lynch was a major loss, because in those two wins on the road, it was Cott Lynch just gathering that loose ball, no matter where it was, gathering that loose ball and bursting out of defence with it. And we just lacked that intensity yesterday.
What do you put that down to, Liam Brosnan? The kind of staying in the hotel for the first half sort of a thing? Like, what, you know, as teams, it's just so unusual to not get a single score even in a half, you know, and then to concede 14 as well. It is unusual. Anything in particular we can kind of put our finger on as to what went wrong?
Yeah, it was a hard one to put the finger on, and even at half time I was trying to keep it positive with Joe. I don't know if we're there was a strong breeze there, and the way I looked at the breeze was it was a 10-point breeze, that it was that strong. But the way Kerry were playing, I knew from the hot ball, the minute the referee threw the hot ball up in the second half, we just kind of, our shape, we were disjointed. You know, there was no intensity there compared to the Kerry ladies team that we saw above a meet 2 weeks before it. You know, everything was kind of, we were chasing shadows. You know, the big thing I saw in the first half was when there was a Kerry girl on the ball coming against a strong breeze, she was always isolated, and there was two and three Cork girls coming around her. Mm-hmm. So we didn't seem to look for the ball. We were then that girl used to make a kind of a hand pass or a kick against a strong breeze, and it was turned over. You know, it was just one of those days that everything went wrong, and Cork just had an onslaught of attacks. And I just thought we were lucky at half time that we weren't down probably a little bit more, because Cork had they had three points that they fisted over the bar, that, and I think Breeden made the remark on commentary that if that was the old Cork team, that would have bulged the net a couple of times. You know, going in 14 points down, I think Kerry were lucky that it wasn't a bit more. Mm-hmm. But you got to hand it to Cork. They came out, they played the breeze expertly. You know, they really pushed up in Kerry. Kerry just could not get the ball. I'd say out of the 30 minutes, the ball was probably inside the Kerry half or 25 at least of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll put it behind us as maybe a bad day at the office for Mark Burke and the girls, but that now means that the game against Galway on Sunday is probably a crucial one if Kerry are to not kind of go into the last two or three games and with kind of that ear of relegation over their heads.
Well, definitely it's our last home game. After that, we are on the road. We're Armagh, all the way up to Armagh, and we're at the last game away to Kildare. And it's very bad to leave it always to the last game, because Kildare are in a bad position as well. They're at the bottom of the table now with just 1 point. Dublin have got ahead of them because they actually got their win this weekend against Kildare. So that has moved Dublin up as well. So, and Dublin have had a few of their players come back in. I saw Niamh Heatherton started. Carla Rowe came on as a sub. You have the likes of Armagh. They were playing Galway the weekend. Galway looked impressive. And you see, as well as, and I did allude to that a few times in commentary yesterday, Galway and Cork are the two teams that have come back up from Division 2. We were in this position a couple of years ago where we blitzed the National League, and yes, we got to an All-Ireland final, but unfortunately we lost then. Having done all the work all year long, we lost the big prize that year. But Galway looked impressive against Armagh. Armagh have got an extra few players back from their earlier games. Caroline O'Hanlon started for them. Lauren McConville was back as centre half back, and I saw Blaheen Macken was started as well. So they're slowly building towards championship as well. So these will be tight games to have towards the end of the league. Galway looked impressive on Saturday against Armagh. They struck three goals and they struck them well. You had Nicola Ward was playing. Olivia Dively came back on. Roisin Cohen was very influential up front for them. But even going back to yesterday's game against Cork, the one plus to take out of the game, and it was one thing that I had been asking for in the three earlier games, we did manage to get our two-pointers, which are going to be very, especially when hopefully we get a tiny bit of better weather and we're not talking about wind and rain the whole time, that those two-pointers and being able to take those two-pointers. We've seen them sporadically over the ladies. They haven't really, a lot of teams haven't really taken them on that much, but Shifra O'Shea scored one, and then as someone at the management said afterwards, when we said, congratulated them about the two-pointer, and they said, oh sure, Danielle had to copy her. So we got Danielle and Shifra got their two-pointers yesterday. So to be able to do that on their own home pitch, it bodes well going forward. But it's just connecting the girls, I think, because management alluded that training had gone excellently on Wednesday night and Friday night, so they couldn't understand the disjointed play that had gone on yesterday. So it's just, I think, letting the girls take that in, park it, and hopefully by the end of the year we will be saying it's a game that gave them the fire back to drive it on more. Because we have to take into account as well, Shifra and I think, was it Leah McMahon, they both played a basketball game Saturday night as well. So it is that tight a season and where everything is happening and you're trying to get fit again. You're being involved with ladies football. You're being involved with basketball. And it's more as the weather kind of gets, hopefully gets that bit better and the evenings get brighter, that we have more energy heading in towards championship. But for, I think, yesterday's game, it's time to park it and just go, all right, we can look back at it. And yes, there definitely is things to work on. But heading into Galway now the next day, it's another home game. It's down for next Sunday at 2 o'clock. So anyone that's around Tralee or in the Kerry area, I know the men's is slightly clash of times with the men's, but it would be to come out and give them that shout and cheer, because Galway, I think, are second from the top now. I think Cork have gone top, Galway are second from the top. But it would be just nice to have those points in the bag heading into the two away games. It just takes the pressure off, because we don't really want to be in the position of maybe being in danger of going down to Division 2. I know management are quite happy with being mid-table in Division 1, that there was no major push on this year for a league final. It kind of happened last year more so than they actually went looking for it. But it would be to maintain Division 1 status is so, so important for the championship and for the years to come, because like there is players coming through. We've seen that with the under-16s last year. The minors had a good enough run last year as well. There is players there coming through, but you don't want to be in a position with the ladies now again back down in Division 2, because you could end up being there for a while.
Yeah. Liam, extremely disappointing, I suppose, that it's clashing with the men's game next Sunday. I know pitches and putting two games on at Fitzgerald Stadium and stuff, and giving the men's games at 1:15 is probably very early for a doubleheader. But you know, we've great football supporting people in Kerry, and having the two games on at the same time, it'll be very hard for a couple of families to choose between the two, and one beyond then in Tralee, one beyond in Clarny. It's just not ideal for anyone, really, is it?
It isn't really, and it's a pity that we just don't have that little bit of joined up thinking. Maybe the ladies' match could have been played after the men's match. I know through TV and stuff like that, the men's match would have to be quarter past one. But it's gonna make it hard for families to choose which game to go to. Look, we're all Kerry people. We follow the ladies, we follow the men. Whether it's Gaelic football or any kind of a Kerry team, we always enjoy following. And it's just a pity that we couldn't go into Clarny now next Sunday and watch the two games.
Yeah, and it's a coverage clash as well, because I mean, with us here, like obviously there's the men's commentary's going beyond and getting the coverage. It's kind of disappointing that they all come to clash, but that schedule. Breda, finally, before I let you go, I suppose you'll join us in kind of wishing Ava Doherty a speedy recovery. You know, sad to see anyone kind of have to get stretched off, and she was really impressing as well at full back, and I suppose with like the likes of Caught and stuff missing as well. It's a bad time to be picking up kind of injuries that look like they might potentially be long term as well.
It is very unfortunate, and it was talking to a few ex-players after the game. It is something that maybe it needs more research in. I think Cots is the knee, the ACL. Ava Doherty's, they suspect it might be the same. We won't know until scans and as such are looked at and everything like that. But it is something that's prevalent in the ladies' game now, and that's not just in LGFA, it's across the water in soccer. Talking to Kayleigh Cronin after the game, it's quite prevalent out in the Aussie rules as well. So there is more research needed into the actual training of women, because I suppose for years we've been maybe following the pattern of how the men trained, and it is to take into the dynamics of the different stature, the different balance, the different muscles that are used in movement and stuff like that. So unfortunately Ava had been slotting quite well into that full back role. She had a very, very good game against Meade there 2 weeks ago. So unfortunately for her, it does look like she could be out for a while. For Cott Lynch, it's heartbreaking in one sense, when she had spent majority of last year injured as well with a separate injury and had rehabbed and worked her way back from that. And in all three games, she was one of the main powerhouses for us in all the three games earlier on in the league. So it's heartbreaking to see her on the sideline again yesterday. But I suppose it's going forward, it is more research is needed in the actual training of women for these more athletic roles and for the stamina to last games and stuff like that. Because, yes, it's very easy to say, oh, this is the program that the men's follow, but you're talking different body types, you're talking different shapes, you're talking different everything that you take into account between comparing men and women. So it is something that needs a lot more research done on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Breda, thanks very much. We'll chat to you again next week, hopefully after a win and a good performance from the Kerry ladies against a tricky Galway team. But at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Kerry against Galway. Maybe if you're not heading to Killarney for the men's game, maybe you could head on to Ostlestack Park for that one. But Breda, thanks a million for taking the call.
No problem. Cheers.
Lovely. That's Breda O'Shea there. Liam, thanks a million. And to John as well. John stayed comfortable there after talking about his garden in Dublin. Lads, we'll chat again next Monday evening, of course, after Kerry and Monaghan. Big one for the Kingdom on Sunday, 1:15 in Fitzgerald Stadium. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the hurling action after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. That's all our footballing matters done for the evening. We're on to the small ball now. And talk about drama at the end of the Kerry hurling game on Saturday, of course. It was no one gave Kerry a big chance to go up to Laois, I suppose, after that big defeat up there in the Dáil McDonagh. But Kerry gave it absolutely everything. A late goal, thought we'd salvaged a point on the road. But unfortunately, the referee allowed one more pass to play, and Laois got a point to nick it, 118 to 117. Former Kerry hurler James McCarthy is on the line. James, I was agonising here in the studio on Saturday. I was already kicking the table when the point went over for Laois. It was felt so hard done by after Kerry had come right back into the very end.
Huge. Like you when you're down 39 for the last 10 minutes, you call it 10 minutes. Because, like, Kyle got dismissed in, you could say, the 67 minutes, and then we played an extra 4 or 5 minutes. So,
yeah.
You were down 30 minutes for 10 minutes, and you still got into wherewithal to get an actual equaliser. And I thought the ref would blow it on the puck out. You know, we were all kind of saying, will he blow it on the puck out? But no, no. It was just, it was heartbreaking for them because they deserved it, Ivo.
They did, to be fair to them.
Like, we'll call it spade a spade. Like, they deserve something on that match. If not a win, at least a draw, like, because you played probably 20 minutes with 14 men and you've had the last 10 with 13 men. Christ, that's huge performance against a good side now. This Laois side, they were playing well, like, they came into it. Probably the third quarter cost us, I thought, they got about 6 or 7 points in a row there. We got 2 or 3, maybe. That was maybe what it cost us, apart from the Simmons off, obviously.
Yeah.
Look, you know, harsh, maybe. No, the last one, okay, no, you can't do that. Yeah, that's just a black book. You have no choice at that stage. That was just caught. But Michael Lean's one, a bit harsh. And, like, at that stage, I was in the melting pot, and it really went against us then after that.
Yeah, a lot of talk on social media about it being a Westmead referee. All jokes aside, I know, like, they'll go in with full confidence, but in a game that was so crucial to probably Westmead's league campaign as well, it probably wasn't the best look. Now, he had it on time for his own reason, that's totally fair, but strange enough, there might have been a Westmead ref in charge of this one.
You know, it's looking at it like, and he was a bit picky. Like, there was a lot of free. If you look at it, Kerry got 8 points of free. I know, Kerry got 9 points of free, and Laois got 8 points of free. So there was a lot. And, like, it was a physically intense battle. And you can't give out to Kerry either, because the reason they were in this game, they were so close and so tight, because of that physicality, because of that tough tackling. I know, like, people can say, oh, it cost us 2 yellow cards. No, you've got to temper that with the way you approach the game. And that's why you were so close to Laois, because you matched them physically and you matched them in the intense battles and in this tackling and in the hooking. And look, maybe a ref can look at that. Another ref might look at that. Ivo, you know yourself, hurling refs, he might even see yellow cards anywhere there.
Yeah.
But that's at the end. So it's just, it all comes down to that, like, really. But Kerry had to play that way, and in fairness, they did, and they went to it. I was really delighted with the way they went at it. Hopefully things will work out and we meet them in a league final, and what a final that would be.
Yeah, no, absolutely, James. Restard is after picking up there as well. Look, Restard, I just said to James, talk about a way to kind of high to low in the space of about 14 seconds. It was such a heartbreaking finish.
Yeah, they have to get the jump leads from me. because the goal was, it was just absolutely unbelievable, you know. I thought, as James said there, James spoke about physicality.
And I was very impressed with the physicality of Kerry. Because there was a time, I suppose, going back to the years when we'd be out-muscled. But our physicality was top class to that day. We were really driving through the Leafs beds. And I thought, look, I thought the sending off the second yellow from Michael Lean was baffling, to be honest with you. I thought, you know, that the Leash man ran into him. Michael is 6'2". And, you know, you run into Michael, you know about it. So, and your man fell to the ground. And I thought it was a very harsh second yellow from Michael there. But, you know, I suppose there was only seconds left when we got the goal to equalise it. What a goal by O'Sheen.
Brilliant,
and then,
yeah.
Then, of course, he played on, bombed out, and they got the winning point. But, look, you'd have to be... And I suppose, look, we thought, you know, that we'd be in third place, you know, in this table. But, you know, we're disappointing not to be at the top because we've scored, in four games, we've scored 13-72. We've conceded 268. 13-72 was some tipping. And, do you know what I mean? Disappointed. But obviously, you know, that foul on Niall O'Mahony that wasn't spotted in central Tralee, that cost us the point against Westmeath. Westmeath got the ball from that, went up, scored the equaliser, and game over. And the last day as well, I felt that, you know, with 13 players, we battled all the way. But just, you know, I deserved at least a draw. But in the great that we're disappointed. I mean, last few years we were saying, look, let's make it respectable against Leash and Westmeath. And now we're disappointed that, A, that we didn't beat Westmeath, and B, that we didn't draw with Leash. Isn't that a great place to be?
Yeah. Richard, I chatted to you last week, and we were talking about kind of, if Kerry weren't to get a result here, it would be a case of keep the score deficit to a minimum. Now, that was obviously talking negatively, but it was kind of a case of, we're saying, if we weren't going to beat Leash, don't get kind of, not hammered is the wrong word, but try to keep the score as tight as possible. And look, the positive for me is that a single point lost to Leash, now you're kind of looking back at the table and you're hoping that if Kerry can manage to beat Mayo and Meath, which you'd be hopefully expecting at this stage, is that that score against Leash could be crucial to finish above Westmeath in this table as well.
Yeah, because as I said, we've scored 13-72. That's great.
Yeah, we're plus 37 on the score difference. Westmeath of a plus 14. So we're 23 points clear of them at the moment.
Absolutely. And of course, two games left now against Mayo and Meath. It'll be interesting. You know, we would hope to beat those guys. And obviously, if we do, what we beat them by, you know. At the same time, we've often gone up to Meath in the past, expecting a win and a comfortable win. And Meath have often given us a shock. But hopefully this time it won't happen. But yeah, look, our things are, I mean, like, we have to look at the positives. This has been a fantastic league campaign by Kerry. And now, look, if the wheels don't come off the cart, as the man says, if we can beat Mayo and Meath, you know, we'll be in a good position, I think. We'll be in a very, very good position. Because, as I said, and Angie has mentioned it again there, our physicality is very, very good. We're bursting out of defence. There was a time, you know, when other teams were horsing us around the place. And now we're physically strong. Now, the downside of that, as James said there about the other cards, you know, we'll get those, you know, that happens with physicality. But as I say, I have to go back again the last day, like I think the second yellow for, and even your colleague Andrew and Tweaky said it better than I ever could afterwards. They spoke about it, and you know, on the fact that it was a Westmeath referee as well, which was a bit strange, but not taking anything away from the man. But but at the end of the day, I think that, you know, our physicality is good, but sometimes you may cross that line. But isn't it great to see a Kerry team ripping into the so-called stronger teams, as we thought we'd be in third position. You know, it was a foregone conclusion for many people that Leash and Westmeath would contest the Division 2 final.
Yeah, James, I suppose it's kind of unfortunate that Westmeath and Leash are meeting the next round. They're meeting in their last game, which from a Kerry perspective could throw a spanner in the works with Westmeath, potentially get maybe a result against Leash. Again, that's given to say they'll win their game in between. But you'd be looking at Westmeath and Leash in the last game now. Will Leash field the full team and everything else? Still in kind of the lap of the gods as whether Kerry might be in this league final or not?
I think so, and you know, I don't think Westmeath are where they should be. I've been honest about it. This is not the same Westmeath team that went up previously in years gone by and would have beaten Leash, maybe in Port Leash, or beaten them in Mullingar. This is not the same Westmeath team, and we can't fool ourselves. Kerry left it after ourselves in Sutton Town against Westmeath. We should have beaten the Westmeath team, no question about it.
Yeah,
we were not as intense in that day in town as we were yesterday or Saturday in Port Leash.
different. The level was exactly where you want to be. That level in Portlaoise on Saturday was Joe McDonagh level. I spoke about it before. That'll win you the Christy Ring at your ease. I'm not going to pull my punches here. If we don't win the Christy Ring, I'll be hugely disappointed.
Yeah, you're right.
Level they played against Portlaoise against Leith, that's the Joe McDonagh level. That's what we were looking for. That's what we wanted. Tweaky and the lads have done a massive job. Everyone's in. Everyone's in harmony. And we're playing to a structure, playing to a pace and a power. And looking at it, we're physically big now, Ivo. You look at our team now, we're a physically very, very strong team. We're an imposing team. And Leash always had that on us. They were always big men who could hurl. We're the exact same now. And they struggled with us at times the last day. We had a lot of turnovers in their half of the field early on to get scores off it by physicality and tackling. So I have no problem with the lads getting sent off. And I wouldn't even say a word to them. It happens. It happens like that. Just, like as I said, the West, look, we park that. I don't see Westmeath beating Leash in Mullingar at all. I see Leash winning that, and I see us playing Leash in the final. And, you know, Leash could box clever. Leash could say, OK, if we let Westmeath beat us, we are top Kerry on the head-to-head. Can they do that? Can they afford to do that? I don't know. Are Leash that cocky? I don't know. I don't think so. I think they'll go at it. They'll do their own thing. They'll get to a final, and I think we'll get there as well. And I'd be looking forward. It'll be a brilliant final now.
Yeah, and brilliant in promotion to Division 1B as well. Lads, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be back to add more on the Kerry Hurlers after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Hi, welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in the midst of chatting about the Kerry Hurlers' agonising 1-point defeat away to Leash. James, as you mentioned there, and look, obviously, like we're talking about potential league finals and stuff and hoping Leash and Westmeath do a job. Kerry have a big job now to do themselves and they have a weekend's break. You're back at home against Mayo, who are worse off in this league than London, so to put two and two together, that you should be winning there. And then that trip to Meath is the one that might upset the apple cart come the end of all this, but you'd be hoping not. But still a job to be done for Tweed before we ever start looking about how Leash and Westmeath get on.
Yes, of course. But, you know, the level we're playing, we shouldn't always respect your opponents, obviously. But Kerry going with this approach, you blow Mayo and you blow Meath off the field. That's it. That's it. In the story, they're not good enough to beat you, and that's it. The way we're playing at the minute, if we just keep our heads, keep that in our heads, guys. Right, we'll do our job. We'll blow these two away. We can't affect whatever happens in Westmeath. We can't affect that. But I am fully confident that we'll be in a league final against Leash. I don't see Westmeath having enough against Leash. And I think we'll just steamroll these other two. I'm not being disrespectful, either. I just want to call it as it is. And look, we've said it straight from all along. This is what Kerry wants. And look, this is huge preparation for our Christy Ring. And I think this could end up really being a really, really good year. Because I think if we get one more cut off Leash, these Leash boys, I think we'll have a right. I think we've a right chance in that final. If we get one more cut off them, maybe they're thinking that back to their head. We put on a huge marker on Portlaoise Saturday. We put on a huge marker, and there has to be a little doubt in Leash's head. Christ, if they had to go to 13 before we got the better of them, they had to go to 14 before we finished them off. So like that really sets the tone. Now you've got to say, right, okay, when we meet you again, now we have your number, and Kerry should think that way. Now Leash have top class players. Jack Kelly's top class. Aaron Dunphy's very good. Melanie's very good. Delaney. They're really good players, but Christ, we have some excellent players ourselves, and we're well matched for him at the minute.
Yeah. Richard, like, getting up to 1B, getting to Division 2 final, and getting up to 1B, and, you know, potentially looking at the teams around us, winning the Christy Ring, you're well set up going next year, then potentially in Division 1 hurling, and, of course, heading back into Joe McDonagh as well. Like, that's what we kind of said at the start of this year to be the goals, but great to see Kerry going about their business properly so early, and that kind of that goal now becoming extremely realistic.
Yeah, and James mentioned it there about the ruthlessness. I think there were two examples the last day. I think when Slattery got the ball and he was going through, and the defender came out, and as I said, Cork, he bowled him over. And it also happened with Kevin Goulding, I think. Kevin Goulding was going forward, and the Leash man came at him, and he just pushed him out. He's more or less said, get out of my way. Now, the free body back for a free. But, those two sort of aggressive moves by Slattery and by Goulding, that aggressiveness, that bit of boldness that was, you know, it lifted the crowd and it lifted the Kerry team as well, because they were saying, we're here to do business. And you know, especially when Slattery put your man flying backwards, it was a statement of intent, which was great to see. Going back to going up to 1B, some people say, Ashu, we're not ready for 1B. But look, I mean, down in Kildare, I think last year we went up to Down, we were barely beaten above and down, and we beat Kildare. And those two lads are doing well in Division 1B. They're hurling well. Kildare, massive performance against Antrim. You know what I mean? And, Kildare are hurling really well, and we beat them last year. And as I said, Down also. So if you look at Down and Kildare that were at our, level, you know, and if we go up and we were able to match them last year and beat one of them, and those lads are certainly not disgracing themselves above in Division 1B, then certainly I think that we would be well able to go up. Would it be tough? Of course it would. But sure, it's going to be tough when you go up. You know what I mean? It's tough for the likes of Mayo and London and Derry in our division. You know, there's always going to be probably two halves to a division. But look, let us go up. It'll be tough. But we learn from it if we go up.
But being in 1B, really serious start, is the preparation you want going to Joe McDonagh campaign. And that's probably where we've kind of gone down to other teams in the Joe McDonagh over the last couple of years and potentially getting relegated last year. Can often be down to the fact that you kind of had not a hugely competitive league campaign, only maybe playing one team, a bit like this year. Like, without Leash in that division, really, there's been no huge test for Kerry in there. Now going to a Christy Ring campaign compared to Joe McDonagh, that might be fine. But with so many teams in 1B in the Joe McDonagh Cup, that's where you kind of want to be, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because as you say, it would be, if we had survived last year in the Joe McDonagh, this year it would be a big step up indeed. So, you know, we're in the Christy Ring, which is not as taxing, I suppose, and not as challenging, but correct. 1B, you need to be there, playing the likes of, likes of Antrim and those as well, and to be competitive in the Joe McDonagh, because if you're, as we saw last year, sure, we were in Division 2 last year, and Joe McDonagh, apart from the win against Kildare and Meath, we weren't competitive, we weren't good enough. But as you say, 1B would raise the standard and enable us to compete and compete well in the Joe McDonagh.
Yeah. Going off 1B, James, this year, and again, we're going to talk about Kerry down the line, but even just off 1B this year, there's a great mix in there for the likes of your Carlos, your Downs, Antrim's, teams that, like, go into Joe McDonagh campaign, having played against, Clare, okay, Wexford not going great, still have 3 wins and a draw, but knowing you mainly talk about Wexford and Dublin, like those teams are getting a savage run out, against some big teams and teams at their own level in the Joe McDonagh. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but it sounds like we're previewing so much for next year, but that's the crucial stage of getting to 1B. You see Kildare go up, won the Joe McDonagh. They're having a really competitive league campaign here in 1B. Then they're going up to a Liam McCarthy campaign this year, and it just goes to show, like, the strengths they have in 1B. And then, like, for the likes of Kerry, okay, Clare will probably go up to 1A, but you've got the likes of Offaly, potentially Wexford, Dublin in league games. That brings the crowds back. And we saw it the year that they played Galway and Wexford as well when they were up in 1B. That gives everyone a good old boost for the county as well.
Well, that's a fact, though. That's what you have to aim for. And that's Kibben Kerry's problem. Can we maintain our same level again next year? Okay? I'm taking this year as a... Well, I won't say a foregone conclusion, but just to say, get out of it. We then have to think, okay, that's what we did for Division 2. We're going to have to step up again. We're going to have to go another level. We're going to have to go another touch. Step up again to 1B. And look at the teams in there, Ivor. I'd have no fear of any of those teams in there. Look at Offaly. We've played them numerous times. Antrim, Carlow, Kildare, Down. That's 5 teams. You're telling me we couldn't win 2-3 games out of that to stay up in Division 1B? Yeah, I think that's totally realistic. And not being silly here, but we must keep this squad. And maybe add to it 1 or 2 more, but you must keep this squad. If we lose members of this squad again now, you'll just take another step backwards.
And I think the lure of Division 1 and Joe McDonagh will keep this squad together, because if this squad are willing to play in lower divisions and in a lower tier All-Ireland, when we potentially do go back to 1B and Joe McDonagh, these lads are really going to be up for that as well.
Oh, they are. You have to see that. There's a hunger there. And you know, the age profile is good enough too. There's not that many lads very old, in fairness to them now. Like, we, nothing, no respect to James, we can't have a James. He's probably one of our oldest lads, and he's as fit as any young lad. So James is flying at the minute. Like, I have no fear there, James. And James is captain this year. So, like, it's brilliant for him. And brilliant for all the lads there. As I can see, it's given them new life. They might be the wrong side of 30, but I guarantee you, when they go and train with all these young lads, they don't feel 30. They feel like young lads getting ready again. There's a hunger. There's a bite there. And look, there's proper hurling there.
Yeah.
We want to see. We've said it all along, Ivor. Just compete. More than competitive. We want to see a style of hurling develop. I think we're seeing it now. Bring enormous physicality and work rate
and add in our bit of class, because we have class up front. We spoke about it last week in our six forwards. If you can add that, that's why you match all these teams. That's why you beat the Carlos. That's why you beat the Offaly's. You have to have the bit of class up front. You'll always maybe get matched physically and maybe on the field you get there, but if you can't finish, you're in big trouble. I think we have that now. We have finishers now.
Yeah, 100%, James. Restart, just before we go, very finally, we're completely out of time, but a great result for our Camogie girls to win up in Meath after the opening weekend draw last week with Laois. Great to get a win on the board away from home as well for them.
Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I was actually, I left Portlaoise now, heading to Croke Park for the football match, and I met the Derry team and a good friend of mine, Aoife Nicastide, who played with Derry, and she was very impressed. They had just come from their game, and she was very, very impressed with Kerry. And they'll be on the way down there, down to Kerry, she says. But very, very impressed with their performance. But sure, Kerry Camogie will always be honest. They're a fantastic team. They're like, you hear about a band of brothers, they're a band of sisters. You know, they're very, very close-knit. And, you know, absolutely fantastic and a brilliant win away from home. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, great start to the campaign for John Madden and the girls. Lads, we're out of time. Thanks very much. We have a weekend off from hurling next weekend and they're back then with the Mayo game the following Sunday. So we'll chat to you again in 2 weeks, lads. Thanks very much.
All the best, lads. Thanks.
Pleasure. We're heading to Pickleball after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
Now you're welcome back to the programme. I'm delighted to have what is the recipient of the Federation of Irish Sport 2025 Volunteer in Sport Award winner for Kerry. So these, after announcing 36 different ones, a couple from inner city Dublin and one for every county around the country. And the Kerry winner is Debbie Quirk from the Kingdom Pickleball Club. So we've got two reasons to chat to Debbie. First of all, to congratulate her on getting this the Volunteer Award, and then maybe tell us a small bit more about pickleball this evening. Debbie, thanks very much for popping in. I suppose first and foremost, I'll ask you a small bit about these awards. How did this all come about? And it's great to see you named amongst the shortlist of the 36.
Thanks, Ivan. Thanks for having me here. I suppose you're asking me a question that I don't know a whole lot about myself. it was my club, I think, that nominated me. So as far as I know, it's an online nomination. And I didn't know any more until I was contacted by the Federation of Irish Sport. So that's about as much as I know about that. You
they
know.
Kept it nice and secret from you, so, Debbie.
Yeah, I didn't know a whole lot about it.
Look, it's lovely to get recognised. I know volunteers don't do these things to get recognised, but it's still nice to get the kind of touch. And, you know, we were chatting a small bit off air there. It's nice to see the sport get recognised as much as yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the first thing I'd want to say is, I suppose, I'm honoured and really humbled to get the award, because I know that all over this county and country, there are many, many more equally worthy of getting it. Mm. But yeah, it's great to get the sport recognised, because it's quite a new sport. And as you probably know yourself, getting a new sport off the ground in a county that's mostly Gaelic football is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, but it is improving, and we have a huge playing community out there now.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the volunteers, I'm just reading some of the stats here, it's staggering. 460,000 people give their free time every week to train kids and to be involved in committees and everything else. So you're one of 460,000, or you're maybe one in 36 of the 460 to be recognised. That's all coming up in Dublin in a few weeks, and enjoy the celebrations and a nice little one. We'll get on to pickleball, because it's look, there's kind of growing. You see there's a tennis club in Tralee, we've paddle courts, badminton's been popular for years, squash. Racket sports in general are popular, and they kind of different ones pop up. So what kind of sets pickleball away from the rest of them?
Well, I'm talking about something I absolutely love, and something that came into my life about 7 or 8 years ago. And I think what set it apart for me was that it is so accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, every age, every skill level, every fitness level can actually play pickleball. You can start today and you can get good at pickleball very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. It's hugely social game, with a good social community there as well. And it's very easy to learn. That's another thing. It's low impact, which is a big thing for the older age group especially. And you know, a fitness. Yeah, the, I mean, you need a certain level of fitness for everything, but it's not the be all and the end all. And there's all kinds of aspects to it. There's the social side, there's the competitive side. So it covers everything. It, for me, it ticks all the boxes for, you know, mental health, physical health, everything. And I think more and more people are beginning to realize that, you know, somebody said to me one time, where could I find a sport that I can start playing at 70 years of age? And that is a reality.
That is a reality. And look, we're starting to come out of the darkness of the winter, but I'm sure one that definitely passed away October, November into, you know, December, those kind of dark, wet evenings, you're inside in the hall and you're being social and being active as well.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's intergenerational. Now, we can only cater for those over 18, but we would absolutely love to get into the more junior side of it, because as we all know, there's a huge sporting history in this county, but there are a lot of people and youngsters that aren't into the contact sports. And this isn't a contact sport because it's played on a badminton court over what looks like a tennis net. We have actually done stuff in schools and they love it. You know, but it's hard to break into a niche there. But for us over 18, it has to be. We actually have a lady in the club who's 84 years of age. We have several octogenarians there. And they're still active and they're still loving it.
Our time's almost up, Debbie, so I just want to get in. Where can maybe people find more? I found you on Facebook to get in touch with yourself. Is there, can people pop down to the sports hall in Tralee? Where do you be?
Well, we actually have four venues. We have Tralee, Listowel, Dingle and Camp. In Tralee, we play in Cumann Yosef every Tuesday and Friday evening. We have a 3-hour stint, but the first hour and a half from 5 to 6:30 is dedicated to beginners. And we also play Wednesday morning from 10 to 12, which is a very social group. And in Listowel, it's Thursday night 7 to 9. Camp is Monday night 7 to 9.
You're all over the place.
And, Listowel was Wednesday night 7 to 9, and Dingle is Thursday night 7 to 9.
Yeah, and if anyone's on Facebook, they might be able to contact
and
you.
And we have a Facebook page, Kingdom Pickleball Club.
Fabulous. What we'll do, Debbie, we'll get more of you in maybe in a couple of weeks, a couple of months' time to see how the season went and what we might be able to look forward to. Best luck with receiving the award, and look forward to for you getting that as well, Debbie.
Thanks, and we'll keep a
check in on pickleball.
Thanks very much.
We're out of time this evening. Thanks to everyone who contributed to the show. We're back again next Monday evening.
Great.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.